in the hotel room, I accidentally got re-exposed to mold again. Somebody gave me a bag of moldy green beans, and they contaminated my entire fridge. And I was exposed and almost had an anaphylactic reaction and died from it. It was obviously unexpected that I was going to have that reaction. And I promised myself when, during that moment, when I wasn't really sure if I was going to make it or not. And so I thought to myself, you know, if I make this out alive, then I have to write a book about it.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's review highlight is a five-star review from Apple Podcasts via one of our listeners, Chloe R. And her review is titled, I Love This Podcast. I love listening to the episodes and the authors that Dom interviews. Their perspective helps me to improve some area of my life, and his show is entertaining. Well, glad we are entertaining and that were helpful indeed. So yes, indeed, improving and entertaining. So improvetaining. you know the corn was coming from yours truly. Well, thanks a bunch, Chloe, for leaving that great review about what you like about the show, and we'll be sure to highlight more reviews if you leave them, my friends. So let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts. And if they're cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers indeed. That's right indeed, because we got one of those extra shiny humans today, y'all, because today's a wonderful guest, y'all. She's a certified functional medicine practitioner, y'all, as well as an acupuncturist, which is also a rarity for the show, as well as a board-certified Chinese herbalist, which is, I think, a first time for the show, and the founder of Omni Wellness. So let's give it up for the doc herself, the mighty and the understanding, the one, the only, Dr. Momoko Uno. How you doing today, Dr. Momo?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on your show.
Woohoo! That's right. Indeed.
Yay!
So glad the doc is in.
Thank you. We'll try to diagnose both our illnesses today.
Sweet.
Okay.
Just don't go for my brain. Just don't go for my brain. People ain't going to figure that one out. And they don't need
me
to.
Me neither. It'll be a mystery. Yeah.
All right, good. Because folks be like, yeah, I need to see what's in your head, man. It might be a roller coaster in there. Like, nope. G14 classified, even for neuroscientists. That's right.
It's good to be mysterious.
Oh, yeah, that's right indeed. Especially when you put on a trench coat and then have a random turban on your head while carrying an apple pie with you.
Awesome. Very good.
Well, speaking of trench coats, turbans, and apple pies, without talking about them all, introductions aren't allowed to be 73.5 years long, and it probably only covered, I don't know, 7 days of what makes Momoko the magnificent lady that she is today. So mind filling us in on your backstory and how you became the good doc that you are today?
How did I become who I am now?
Yeah.
So I went to medical school in Shanghai. And I got a degree in integrative medicine there, which is integrating Chinese herbal medicine and pharmaceuticals. And my training is mostly in internal medicine. And then I came to the States after that and decided I wanted to study more acupuncture. So I got a degree in acupuncture. And then I was very much interested in understanding the mind and how that relates to health. And so I got a degree in psychology after that. And I didn't think that was quite enough. So I went to, I studied functional medicine because I wanted to understand more about, all the different types of specialty lab tests and different types of supplements that people can take. So that's, yeah, that's about it in terms of my education. And then at some point, when I was a little kid, I just really liked to write. So I started writing at a very young age, but I was told that I had no future as a writer because I didn't know how to use a comma and I couldn't write in full sentences. So I was a little bit shy. So I hid in the closet for very, many, many years. And it was during the pandemic, and I decided to write this book, my first memoir, and I realized that, basically at a point where I almost died, that, I couldn't live in fear, and I really need to go towards my dreams a little bit more of becoming a published author. So that's me in a nutshell.
Okay, that's right. Nutshell indeed. So cashews or almonds?
I like macadamia nuts.
Ooh, new one. Ah, there we go.
What's your favorite nut? Do
Oh, I'm a cashew
you have a
guy.
favorite one? Do you like it? Cashews are nice. They have that kind of cute little, like little, I don't know, curve to them or something. They're a funny shape,
Oh yeah, so
And then
indeed.
walnuts look like. Yeah, walnuts look like miniature brains.
Oh yeah, especially those walnuts indeed.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's right indeed. Especially when you put them next to a wall. That's right indeed.
looks more like a brain next to a wall.
The walnuts, especially, it's a double
Oh, the
pun, it's a walnut.
walnuts.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm a little bit slow today. I get it
Oh,
now.
don't worry about the slow part. It's all good. That just means you're more ripe for my jokes. That's right, indeed. My jokes
Right,
work best when
very
you're confused.
good. Awesome, very good.
That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Well, congrats to sticking it to the man, aka the teacher who basically insulted you and basically thought you weren't going to amount to anything. But here she is. She's a doc with two books under her belt and counting. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. And all because of a comma, like really? Come on now. Like even adults have trouble with commas these days. And I'm even sure 20 years ago before AI even decided to help out via Grammarly.
Commas are hard. I don't know. Everybody keeps making fun of me because I don't know how to use commas. And I don't know what it is. I've gotten much, much better with using commas, thanks to my smartphone. But I've really struggled with it. And also because I'm Australian, right? And our grammar is just a little bit different from American English. Like verb tense, it's all a little slightly different. So it's extra challenging for me to write like an American.
Indeed. I was wondering when you're going to bring up Australia because I'm like, yeah, this lady's well traveled indeed. She's been across the globe from east to west, west to east, all the spinning balls in the wonderful solar system. That's right. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
so
wanted
I'm
to.
from Western Australia.
Ah, there you go. There you go indeed. And my goodness, so ended up going to China to learn about herbal medicine. So was that something you really wanted to learn? Is that why you left Australia?
I did. It was the only place where I could go to get this particular degree. This is my only option. I mean, there were many universities in China that I could go to. And I can't remember exactly why I ended up in Shanghai. Oh, actually, no, I do remember now. We had a family friend that lived there, and he was associated with the university where I went to. So I ended up in Shanghai for that reason. And it turned out to be a great experience. Very, very different. Shanghai in the 90s and Shanghai now was very, very, very different. It was mostly a lot of farmland when I was going to school.
Oh yeah, China's like the whole freaking continent, like hyper growth the past 20 years and counting.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's completely changed. And I haven't gone back recently. I think I went last time I was there about 10 years ago, but I didn't recognize my Shanghai because I left in the late night. I think it was 97, 98 that I left. And it had a complete makeover. I didn't recognize any of the streets at all. Completely different.
There you go, from culture shock to culture shock, right back to another culture shock.
Yeah, it was. It really was. Very, very different country. When I left, there were still, you could, there were sometimes chickens running across the street, and it was like farmland meets big city. There were open markets everywhere still where you could buy groceries. No, I don't think any of that exists anymore.
Good old modernism. You'll love to see it sometimes. Sometimes.
It's very, and it changed literally like overnight, I would say. Like in around 96, it went from this, very almost rural areas of Shanghai to high rises. It's incredible in the span of a couple of years.
Sweet, that's what I'm talking about indeed. And you picked up acupuncture too, so is that something you always wanted to do too, or did you just learn about that in your studies and added that to your repertoire?
I actually did a minor in acupuncture when I was in Shanghai, and it wasn't really enough. Like I didn't, having a minor in acupuncture, and if you want to practice, it's really not enough information. So I actually went and did more advanced training in Los Angeles, actually. So I had more clinical experience actually in the US than I did in Shanghai, strangely.
Well, that's what I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, it's like modern medicine, of course, with the massive amount of information on the new medicine indeed. It's like, all right, cool. Let's not forget the good old natural goodness that the earth provides. It's like, yeah, that's right indeed. She's like, yep, we have a magnificent earth. Time to learn more about the good old nature that can heal the body and indeed. So my goodness. So being able to become a doctor and have all these wonderful skills in your wonderful skill toolbox of awesome, and you got these two magical books out and counting too. So my goodness, what inspired you to become an author?
I think that I wanted to write about challenging experiences and overcoming them and not seeing mistakes or failure as necessarily a negative thing, because I think so many people are afraid of making mistakes. So they just, they get stuck and, well, they see failure as a really negative thing. And so, my take on challenging experiences is, how can I grow from it or learn something from it? And so my books are mostly about that. Like, in my memoir, it's about how I was struggling really throughout the entire book, and hopefully I got something useful out of that experience, some kind of realization. And I just wanted to, share that experience.
So I'm talking about indeed. So I'm talking about indeed. Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, it was a hard time too. Like, shoot, was it 14 straight days of quarantine too?
Correct. Yes, solitary confinement with guards outside my room and the windows bolted shut. I had no human contact, and my mother died. So it's a pretty rough situation that I went through.
Oh my goodness, like, so what caused that? Like, what led to the confinement? Was it just the whole COVID scare and everything like that? Or was it something totally different?
So I already had a medical condition that had mostly been in remission before. It's called mast cell activation syndrome, and it's like an overactive immune system. And I got it from toxic black mold exposure about 17 years ago. And it, you know, it was much, much better. But I then got re-exposed to mold just before I actually went to Australia. And then when I was in quarantine in the hotel room by myself, I accidentally got re-exposed to mold again. Somebody gave me a bag of moldy green beans, and they contaminated my entire fridge. And I was exposed and almost had an anaphylactic reaction and died from it. It was obviously unexpected that I was going to have that reaction. At that, you know, I lived, and I promised myself during that moment when I wasn't really sure if I was going to make it or not, because, you know, anaphylactic reaction is really can come on very, very quickly. And, you know, sometimes as fast as 15 minutes from start of the symptoms to when you're dead. And so I thought to myself, you know, if I make this out alive, then I have to write a book about it. So I promised myself that if I made it out alive, I'd write a book. So I had to keep my promise to myself.
Wait, that's what I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. Man, what the heck, man? Moldy green beans? Was someone out to get you? What the heck, man?
I know. It was so, so random, right? Like, also the fridge. This is one thing that I also realized while I was there is that there's little fridges that sometimes they have in hotel rooms. Those are actually not real fridges. They're actually coolers, and they don't keep food at safe temperatures. So, you know, I had food that was spoiling in my little cooler. So that added to the whole thing. It's like an unsafe. The temperature's probably much higher than, you know, I think a fridge is supposed to be, is it like 38 degrees? I can't remember exactly how much it is, but the cooler temperature is probably like 40, 45 or something, like much higher, you know, it's a breeding ground for germs basically and mold. But somebody gave me a bag of moldy green beans from the grocery store. No, I don't know what they were looking at. They were half asleep, maybe packing my bag of beans. Yeah, so I couldn't eat any of the food. I couldn't eat any of the food at the hotel because my condition was so severe that I had to cook all my own food in the hotel room, which was also, you know, a challenge in it of itself. Cooking in the bathroom of the hotel room without setting off the fire alarm. Yeah, good times. Good times.
Freaking insane indeed. My goodness, my goodness. Well, so I'm talking about, you showed a high level of resilience right there. It's like, all right, I'm going to promise myself this thing and I'm going to do it. And I did it. And it's like she did it so well. She said, I'm going to do it again, indeed. And because now you got a second book out there called Bringing Sunshine Back to My Mind. That's just a little bit over a month old at the time of this recording. So what made you want to go back to the well of words and put out another magical book?
Well, I have a whole bunch of different manuscripts that I'm working on. And this publishing agent that I had been working with, I'd wanted to write another book after the first one came out, and I gave her a list of all the manuscripts that I was working on, and this is the one that she picked. So I decided, I gave her, you know, the ideas of all the different stories that I was working on, and she liked this one, so I just ran with this one. So hopefully I'll publish all my books. The idea is that, you know, that I gave her a whole, like, five or six of them, and there's, I think I have some, you know, other ones that I'd like to write too. So I'm just going to get them all out. Like, why not, right? Just, it's like having little babies, book babies. So I'm gonna try to give birth to as many as possible.
Ooh, birth a whole nation of them if you want.
Yeah.
That's
Yes,
right.
I do. I want to. To me, writing is fun. It's healing. You know, like writing about stuff that's challenging. There's a healing journey that I go on myself. And I think it's important for me to process certain things. Not so much the second book, because that's not, you know, it's a completely made up fiction. So, you know, very little of that is true. Actually, almost, it's like there's little themes in there. Like whenever I write anything, even if it's not about me, there's little bits and pieces that might be true, like themes only, not necessarily actual events. But there's something healing about the experience of writing. You know, the second book is mostly about, you know, my patients that I've worked with who have gone through extreme trauma, and just watching them go through this very difficult journey of recovering from traumatic experiences. And that's how I was inspired to write this book, as I've watched other people heal, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually too.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. The good times indeed. So any plans on for this book to be in audio format and you being the voice behind it?
Well, the second book is an American, the character is American. So I have a good friend who's American. I can't do that. I'm obviously sound very Australian, so I can't put on an American accent. So I'm hoping that my friend will be able to be the narrator for the book. The first one was, I don't actually know who she is. She's an Australian voice artist, so that wasn't me either. They asked me if I wanted to do it, but I don't like the sound of my voice, so I actually declined. And the second one, I won't be able to. I'd rather get somebody who does it for a living. I think that I wouldn't be very good at it.
What you're saying is you're gonna get Dr. Momo on book three. All right, cool. As I'm talking about, that's right indeed. That's right
Yeah, book
indeed, Dr.
three.
Momo.
Yeah. Book number three, I hope will come out, and I don't know, but maybe by the end of the year or sometime early next year. I also won't be narrating that one
Oh.
either. Yeah, that one I'll probably ask somebody who's, because it's also mostly American characters as well. So it won't be me. Maybe if I write another memoir, I will, you know, muster up the courage to read it myself. But for now, I'll ask the professionals to do it.
Well, go ahead, muster up that courage, dang gummit. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Need to get that Momo special. That's right indeed. Need to get your voice in folks' ears. That's right indeed. Get in their brain. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Be like, yep, go to Omni Wellness. That's right indeed. We focus on the symptoms. That's right indeed, y'all. And see where you at. We don't focus on you at the near end. That's right indeed. Focus on the beginning. All the wellness. Oh yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. So since you got two books out now for the folks to read and devour, and also sorry about the loss of your lovely mother. I know that's still probably rough for you these days, especially the way it all went down. But my goodness, what do you feel like you've learned about yourself thus far through all these books that you've written?
I have learned that writing gives me a tremendous amount of joy, and it's something that, you know, I wish to continue. And I hope that for the people that read my books, that it also takes them on a journey. And because most of my books are about learning about self-acceptance and self-love, and I hope that, you know, they will have that experience, a similar healing experience that I had when I wrote the books. I hope that they can experience that for themselves. So this is a very different way of me relating to, I guess, other people, because, you know, as the doctor, I'm just one-on-one, right, with patients. And this is a way that I can almost have a conversation with people that I've, you know, I've never met before. I always like to hear from other people and what they, you know, think about the book, even if it's negative. You know, I always like to, you know, be better at my craft. So even if it's negative feedback, you know, especially as a writer, you know, when I'm writing, I've learned that negative feedback is the best thing ever, because it makes me a better writer. So I've learned to appreciate these types of critical reviews that I've received from other people, and see the value of negative feedback, basically. So that was a good thing to learn, is that that I actually appreciate, you know what I guess most people would consider challenging feedback. Not that it's, you know, it sometimes doesn't feel good when somebody tells you that your story is boring. You know what I mean? But it's good to, for me at least, to think about how I can make it more interesting.
Okay, there you go. There you go. So heard that right, folks. Some wonderful Runstar reviews saying, man, this toaster does not toast very well. That's right indeed. Those are good reviews, y'all. That's right indeed, because they make Momoko a better writer.
I'd like you to leave me a 1-star review saying that the toaster, something about the toaster, that would be amazing. Completely unrelated to my book. Just 1-star. The toaster didn't work well.
Yeah, this toast was trying to teach me about resilience. I was turning the pages and everything. It's like, wait, what?
That'd be great.
Oh, man. It's right indeed. It's right indeed. Yeah, I guess resilience expert can be one of your wonderful monikers, and that's a display of it, like just using reviews from the critical reviews as a way to become better as a writer. Because that's the mindset to have, really, because all criticism ain't bad. It's like sometimes folks are actually trying to help and they're being honest with you. It's like, yeah, a little polish here be a lot better than before. It's like, all right, take you from a cubic zirconia to a full diamond. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. You love to see it. You love to see it. So my goodness, I heard you mention that you might possibly have a third book come out by the end of the year. Is there anything else you're excited about over the next 6 to 12 months?
Other than the book?
Yeah, I know you got some plan. You probably got a whole bunch of things ready to drop on the earth.
not just book-wise, yeah? Yeah, I mean, from a young age, my mother used to take me to dance classes. I started when I was about 3 years old. And it was always a very serious hobby that I've had that has kind of come in tandem with my writing. And, you know, it's not something where, like with the writing, where I can publish and, you know, I'm happy for people to read my books. It's not, my dancing experience is not something that I would ever want anybody to see me, but it's something that I really thoroughly enjoy doing. And there's a community of dancers that I hang out with, and it gives me a tremendous amount of joy. So that's something that I look forward to multiple times a week, not just, well, hopefully for the rest of my life, I'll be able to do that. Because I think for my brain, it's, you know, it's so good for my brain. I think to experience those types of happy hormones while I'm exercising and learning new things, I think all that combination for my brain is very helpful for, you know, cognitive function and just overall well-being. So lots more dancing for me, hopefully, in the next year.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's right indeed. We're going to see Dr. Momo on Broadway in 7 years, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right.
I'll be like 102 or something, but dancing on Broadway.
I said 7 years, not 70. My God.
By the time that I get good at it, I might be 102. We'll see.
There you go. Name of the game. Have one of those wonderful hobbies that extends your youth. That's right indeed. Good old dancing, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. On key, off balance, on balance. It don't matter. That's right indeed. Name of the game, Magical Momo, is here to stay, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, a fun thing I picked up from my usual snooping the guests before they pop on is that you actually went to Christian school growing up, but you were raised a Buddhist. So my goodness, how does that play a part in your life today, being able to have information on both worlds like that?
Well, at this point in my life, I don't consider myself religious. Like, I don't practice anything from my Buddhist teachings or Christian. I went to, I think, 12, 14 years of Christian school, Anglican in particular, and they were both, I think, very helpful for my developing my moral code and being just a better person overall. So I think I took what was important for me and I try to live from that place, from what I have learned from being a Christian or being a Buddhist. But it's not something that I don't go to church anymore, or I don't really identify as a Buddhist person. Although I do some form of meditation on a regular basis. So that's probably the only practice that I still have, a spiritual practice, is I do literally 5 minutes of meditation in the morning and night. That's it. That's pretty much all I do. I think it's more just integrated into how I think, and not so much, actually, it's integrated into how I practice my life as well, if that makes sense.
Sweet. Well, there we go. That's right indeed. The Mo meditation hours. You'll love to see it. That's right indeed. 5 minutes in the morning, 5 in the evening. You'll love to see it. You'll love to see it. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right, folks. Meditation is good for you. That's right. Meditation is so good for you, the police will show up. That's right indeed.
The police would show up. I wish the police would show up at my house.
No, you just, don't.
Just to hang out or something. You know, especially because during COVID, didn't you just want to hang out with anybody? Just the police, anyone? You know what I mean? I would have loved them to come over and hang out and like chat with me or something. They're nice guys. The guy, I've never met. In my, you know, the precinct close to my house, the ones I've seen around, I haven't seen any women, but I was actually robbed on the street not so long ago, and so I got to hang out with a bunch of police. They're all really lovely.
Oh no. Well, glad you're okay.
Yes, totally fine.
Eh, boo. Eh, people can suck.
Yeah, they're not nice, right? Some people are not nice. I'm actually reading a book about criminal minds right now, and it sounds like a lot of it's just genetic, from according to this book. And I'm pretty sure I didn't get the criminal gene, which I'm pretty happy about.
So if you steal someone's heart, that's not criminal. Okay.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you want somebody to just willingly give it to you? Do you think it's Yeah, I mean, you want to steal it? I don't know. I'd feel kind of bad about stealing somebody's heart. I just ask them, can I have it? Please, like right now.
There you go. That's right indeed. And the good news of my crazy brain, it can go in two separate directions. Like, oh, the regular love angle, and then also the other angle where it's like, oh, I'm a doctor, organ harvesting time, baby. Time to do the real criminal gene now. Yeah, let me stop. Oh, man. So my goodness, so since you're starting to get on more podcasts for the work that you do, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
That's a great question. The number one question that people ask me is, where did I get my shoes from? I don't think that they should be asking me that question because it's a podcast and you can't see what shoes I'm wearing. But I can't think of what should they, what, so what would you think? I want to ask you, because you've obviously been doing podcasts for quite some time at this point, what do you think they should be asking me?
Shoot. How about tips for living a more holistic lifestyle in the modern age?
That's good. Yes, that's my thing. I do that for work. Yes, they're welcome to answer that question, but it might not, that's a challenging question though, because it's really independent. Like it's not independent. It depends on the individual. I think that what's holistic and what works for one person that doesn't work for another, right? So it's actually quite tricky, because there's no such thing as a perfect diet that works for everybody. It's only about the diet that works for you. Or if you want a spiritual practice, like a meditation practice, if you have 35 children, you might not have time to meditate. You know what I mean?
That's right, indeed. Oh man, that would definitely be the ultimate blended family right there. 35 kids. Now they're all from the same woman. She's got something super.
I actually had a patient who had 18 children. 18.
Wow.
Isn't that
Oh.
incredible? 18 children.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the first people that I met during my private, when I started my private practice, was a woman with 18 children. And met, I would say, half of the kids at some point. Good people. 18, though. I wouldn't be able to remember my children's names.
It's like, all right, Momoko
Yeah, I would just
get
say, like, you in the red shirt, come here.
here. Yeah, she's got her own starting lineup for football and basketball.
Exactly.
Indeed, that's right indeed. Funny enough, well, shoot, that funny enough, it just now popped to my head. We actually had a guest on here a few hundred episodes ago, which is still kind of crazy thinking about it. She actually was a mom of 18 kids, funny
No
enough.
way, really? She really was?
Miss
Wow.
Jen Taylor. Yeah, I believe about 12 or so were hers, and a couple were adopted, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm
Wow.
remembering correctly. Yeah,
That's
about Miss
incredible.
Yep, that's right
That's
indeed.
a lot of babies.
Oh, it's a
Good for
lot of
her.
babies. Oh yeah,
Yeah.
and she looks fabulous too. It's like, yep, I can see why. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right. Now she's one of those midwives now helping folks with their natural births now. That's right indeed.
Oh, she really? I'm sure she's like an expert at giving birth.
Oh yeah, that's right indeed. Learn by doing in this case.
Yes, exactly. That's incredible.
More ways than one.
Yeah. I can't imagine doing that 12, 18 times. Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot indeed. It's definitely a lot indeed. So my goodness, and shoot, I guess we'll go with the most recent book. So if your fabulous book, Bringing Sunshine Back to My Mind, a story about overcoming trauma and finding wholeness. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
It would be a bagel, because there's a hole there's a hole in the middle. That's the worst.
Just the way you
Yeah.
said
There's
it.
actually a part in the book when there's actually a bagel reference in the book. So anyway, I don't want to spoil it for people who want to read it.
And you're a punster, didn't even
Ah.
know it. So indeed, wholeness, and there's a hole in the middle of a bagel. Oh,
Oh, that's so silly, isn't it? Yes.
guess I'm rubbing off on you after all. Right indeed. As soon as she says yes, indeed, the brainwash is complete. It's right indeed. It's right. Let me stop. We're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you were to wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year with all of your knowledge and experience, what advice would you give to yourself?
That's a really good question. Don't do it. Don't do any of it. I'm just kidding. I have no idea. What would I tell myself? Eat more pizza. I think that's what I would tell myself. I don't know. That's such an awesome question. I'm going to be thinking about this for the rest of my life. I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, that's a good thing about being 25. It's like, hey, darn near iron stomach, sense of invincibility almost. That's right.
Yeah, live your life fully, right? Live without fear. Go do everything that you wanted to do. Actually, you know what? I would have probably told myself to take dancing more seriously and had a little mini, side gig or something with it. Because that's something that I feel like I missed out on because I didn't really pursue it seriously enough. So I think that's probably the only thing that I would tell myself to kind of do that like I did with my writing. Because, dancing is one of those things, it's very hard to do at my age. I mean, of course, I can still do it, but, there's so many more limitations. But at 25, I could have really gone for it and probably, had more opportunities. And I think I missed those because I was too shy or too afraid. Was to something. So, aside from the eating more pizza, because I think at that time, and that's actually kind of only a half joke, because I think I was so overly cautious about what I was eating that I think I became really, really rigid, and I don't think I needed to be that uptight about living my life so perfectly. I think I should have just gone for it, made mistakes, done whatever. I think I probably would have learned more that way. Does that make sense?
Yes, right. Indeed. It makes all the pennies and nickels. That's right. And a quarters too. That's right. All the cents.
Yes.
That's right indeed. That's right. She'll be full flash dance and step up. That's right indeed. And you got served all the dance movies in one. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Y'all thought MD stands for medical doctor, not fam, stands for Momoko dancing. That's right.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll put that on my tombstone.
Ha
Thank you.
ha indeed. That's right. Plot twist, she was a real doctor too, y'all. That's right indeed. She's a dancing doctor. That's right indeed. You'll come in for a checkup and then you'll just see a disco ball in the office and she is getting down.
Yeah.
Right indeed. right, dude. I'll be one hell of a boy. We just go to see a doc, and then it's like, the doc will see you now. And you just hear some music going, like, what's going on? I just open the door, just see her dancing.
We actually had a few little dance parties at our office. It was fun with just the people that work here. Very loud music. No disco balls. But I do encourage a lot of my patients to dance, you know, because it's very healing. I don't dance for them, but I tell them to go dancing.
Heck yeah, indeed. It's good for you. That's right, indeed. That's
Yes,
right,
yes.
folks. That's right. She's not going to dance to tell you some morbid news. Nope, she don't do that. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. It's called care, y'all. She cares. There's a difference. Huge difference. That's right, indeed. Because everybody needs a
Yes.
doc who cares, indeed. So, my goodness, my goodness. So, folks need to keep up with the good doc herself and all the things that she's doing, as well as cop some copies of her magical book. So for those who need to do just that and keep up with your journey, what's the best way for folks to do so, Dr. Malone?
Welcome to check out my website at momokowrites.com. Send me a note. Let me know what you think of my books. If you have any feedback, that's awesome. I'd love to hear it. You can reach me directly at mu at momokowrites.com.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Momoko writes, baby. That's right. She does, y'all. She does, indeed. She plans on writing for real. That's right, indeed. You're that right, folks. Her own combo. That's right, indeed. Six manuscripts. Two are out, polished and dusted, y'all. Ready to be devoured into your brain, y'all. That's right, indeed. For a good read. That's right, indeed. Heck, one of them might even need a box of Kleenexes. You never know. So be on the lookout for more stuff from Dr. Momoko herself, because she's only getting started, y'all. She's only getting started. That's right, indeed. She's going to dance the night and the day away, y'all. So join her in the mighty dance. That's right. Make a conga line. Make a one-person conga line all the way to her wonderful site for every person that's listening, indeed. And subscribe to her newsletter, indeed. She decides to make that wonderful thing public and cops and copies of her books. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Indeed. Well, any parting words before we close up shop, Dr. Momo?
Well, thanks so much for the opportunity. It's been a lot of fun chatting with you.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being fabulous.